over the last 15 years. The pandemic actually didn't really throw a wrench in my networking at all. And the reason why is because I was already doing a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of phone calls. I was already national, if not international, my networking. So I couldn't just go down to an event. And so for me, it was easier because I was like, oh crap, now I can't go to the event. It was, oh, I'm just going to reach out to Ben and be like, hey, let's grab a Zoom call, right? And so I think that the first thing for anybody who's struggling, and this is probably the hardest, is to just accept that it's not going to go back to the way it was.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. It's Ben Baker. And I appreciate you guys coming back week after week, sharing, letting me know what you like, telling me, you know, what you think and what you want. And I love all of that. So thank you for coming back week after week, month after month. Hey, year after year, we're in our 6th year right now. This week, I've got another great title for a book for you. It says Hyperconnected Selling and Networking in the 21st Century. Okay. Why your network sucks and what you can do about it. My guest this week is David D. Fish Fisher. And David is a Sales Hall of Fame inductee. We're going to talk about sales. We're going to talk about networking. We're going to talk about personal development versus professional development. And we're going to sit here and figure out how to make people better at sales because we all sell in one shape or form. So D. Fish, David, Fish, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. You're going through the challenge everybody has. What do we call David? What do we call D. Fish? Just don't call me late for happy hour and we're good.
There we go. If I could reach across the world, because you're in Chicago, I'm out here on the West Coast. If I could pour you a drink right now, I'd do it. But you know what? They haven't figured out how to go that far yet.
We'll figure that one out with virtual conversation eventually.
Exactly. Hey, if Willy Wonka could do it, it's got to be possible.
Exactly. I love it.
So before we get started, you've been in sales for a long time now. I mean, we've both been in sales for a long time. And give me a little bit of a history of about where you came from and what brought you to this place in time. Because, you know, there are different levels of salespeople. There's the people that are fresh meat right out of the gun. There's people that have been here, you know, 20 years. There's people who have made an entire career out of this thing and are jaded. And there's everything in between. So give me a little bit of history that brought you to this point and got you maybe out of carrying the bag and now teaching people how to carry the bag.
Yeah. So, you know, the very long story made very short was I did get my start in sales actually before I even graduated from school. Some of your listeners probably have already tuned out a little bit going, oh, I don't want to be a salesperson. Sales is such a 4-letter word.
Sales is a 5-letter word, everybody. Keep listening.
And we all do it. Right.
That's right.
Dan Pink's wonderful book, To Sell as Human. I actually got my start very literally carrying a bag. I was a Cutco sales rep. Many of your listeners probably know of the cutlery sales people that usually college students that are paying their way through school. And that's how I paid my way through Northwestern. And actually, after that, ran their Chicago office for 5 years. And that was kind of my transition from just being a salesperson to really trying to learn the craft and the science and the art of selling, because I was trying to teach people and trained over 1,500 salespeople, did a lot of coaching and development. And that was actually the way that I evolved into running my own business, which I started Rockstar Consulting 16 years ago. And it still is a sales coaching and training and development business, right? Where I kind of get to do a little bit of everything, where we do group and training and keynotes and marketing and sales consulting. And I get to write books and run a podcast. And my goal is really to help sell people on themselves, right? Their own potential and their own abilities. And so I get a chance to do that in a lot of different formats. And what's great is, you know, even though, yes, I help people sell, when you run your own business, you're also selling your ability to help people sell. So I don't think I've ever really put down the bag in the last couple decades.
The bag could have gotten a little nicer over the last 25 or 30 years, but there's still a bag. I've owned my own business for what? This business for 15 years, 10 years before that with a partner. You're always selling. And I don't care if you work for yourself or you work for somebody else, if you're actually quote unquote a salesperson or you're trying to sell your manager or your vice president or be able to get your idea across in a meeting. You're always selling. We're all always selling. And I think that we need to get rid of the phrase that sales is evil, because no, sales is evil when people just don't understand what they're doing and they do it poorly. You know, I think that that's really where the crux of the matter is, because God knows there's a lot of bad salespeople out there. I mean, we laugh at the used car salesmen. We laugh at, you know, people of that ilk. But you know what? A lot of it comes down to bad training. It's not bad people. It's either lack of training or no training at all.
That's exactly right. And often a misunderstanding of what selling really is. You know, there's always the old adage, which I really believe, it's you don't sell to somebody, you sell for somebody. So the idea of really helping people, especially you mentioned those young people right out of school, maybe in that first sales job, if they don't have the right training, if they have way too often that sales manager, that trainer who's like, oh, you're going to pressure people in and you got to hit your quota and you got to do this, you got to do that. It's a bad road to go down that many people just don't know a better way of doing it. So a lot of the work over my career is in some small way, shape or form, helping people escape that to, as I said, sell for people as opposed to them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I still remember my first professional sales job. It was working for a company that sold, they weren't encyclopedias, but they were a 2-volume educational book set. Door to door. It was interesting. It was based out of Nashville, Tennessee. Can't remember the name of the company. I'm sure they're defunct, but you were not allowed to sell in your own territory. I had to drive across the country, find a place within a territory that they told me. 6 of us lived in a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yep.
Drive down for a week of sales training in Nashville, drive back up, grab your bag, and out you go. And the one thing I remember is it was the days of Glenn Ross, always be closing. Always be closed. And they taught you 17 different closes. The trial close, the this close, the that close.
Ben Franklin close, the alternative choice close.
Sure. Absolutely. And to this day, when I get somebody that tries to do all that to me, I'm writing them down on a bingo sheet. At the end of the sales, I'll send it to them. I say, I got bingo. They look at me. I go, I got bingo. Use 9 closes.
I love it.
And you sit there and go, it's not their fault, because that's the way that they've been trained. That's the way that their system has grown up, with that it's an us versus them. They have money. We want their money. We want them to buy whatever costs, because we're probably never going to see these people ever again. We have one shot. If we don't close them, welcome to my days at Xerox. You have one shot to close them. If you don't close them that day, guess what? They're going to buy something else.
Yeah. And that works in a world that maybe we had 20, 30, 40 years ago that was very transactional. It was very short term, right? So, you know, the one call close model, 40 years ago, it was very common that this was going to be the only interaction you were going to have with that person. I've got one shot. If I don't close you today, you're going to go with a competitor. You're not going to buy from me. Whereas, by the way, your bad behavior is not going to follow you around. Right? Nobody else is going to know that you were pressuring the customer or you made them feel uncomfortable. That's not the world we live in anymore. And just, I think, you know, a lot of the quote unquote turmoil, or what do you want to call it in sales, a lot of the sales argument on LinkedIn, you know, kind of this changing of the guard, where I don't think sales is harder or easier than it was. It's just different, and it's a different world. And so there's still some people who want to cling to that old school transactional model. That's just not the world we live in anymore.
Let's face it. I mean, take me for an example. I'm in my early 50s. So I started 35 years ago in sales. And if that's all I ever knew growing up, and all of a sudden I became the salesman to the sales manager, district sales manager to the director of sales to the VP of sales, that's how I'm going to expect the people that come after me to sell. Well, I always did it this way. This is how I always did it. So therefore, my team should sell that way. I'm going to build my commissions based on that. I'm going to build my expectations. I'm going to build my funnels based on that. I'm going to build everything for my sales team based on that Glenn Ross always be closing model. And as you said, that worked really well 30, 40, 50 years ago, because that's how people bought and sold. They didn't know any better. However, with the changing of the guard, with the next generation, with a much smarter, much more educated procurement people and people that work in companies because of the internet, because of social media, because of other, you know, far more products at their disposal, that same technique doesn't work as well. So how do we help organizations that are stuck with a director of sales, a VP of sales, someone who is that old skill person who's always thought this way and always worked this way, help them redevelop their teams so they can understand, hey, first of all, this doesn't work anymore. Second of all, let me show you a better way, because there are better ways, and we can talk about that as well.
Yeah, I think that it starts, and this is the unsexy answer because it isn't the easy one. It's helping leadership understand that the world has changed. Because I think you've actually touched on something that's really important, which is if you are in a leadership position in an organization right now, there's a very good chance, use that progression there, where I started selling in 1997, where we only had the phone, email didn't exist, social media, the World Wide Web was basically there. So I got my start probably like, you hit the phone. By the way, this was pre-caller ID, right? So everybody picked up their phone. They didn't know if it was something they wanted to talk to or not. The world has changed. And until leadership understands that, they don't have to have all the answers, but they have to get to a place of, let's just call it humility, where they go, hey, the world is different. I can't react to it and just go, oh, these young kids on their TikToks and their Insta books and whatever, like that's BS. No, they have to at least be open to the very real ways that we communicate differently. Because once there's that opening, then you can start to fill in the, as you said, the new way of selling or the new way of engaging. I really think it comes down to just understanding that we do connect and engage differently because of the multitude of channels we have, right? I actually think there's many kind of, let's say, modern sellers who do a disservice to their organizations by trying to say things like, cold calling is dead. And you can't do this or you can't do that. Where really, I think the power of modern selling right now is the fact that we have a lot of communication channels, that we have the phone, right? And there's times to pick up the phone. I love video calls that we now have and LinkedIn and email and dropping something in the mail, right? The empty inbox is our mailbox, right? So mailing stuff to people. And I think that I would actually disagree with something you said earlier where you're like, buyers are more educated and they're smarter. They're not.
What they have access to more information, but they're as confused as they always have been.
And that's exactly right. One of the things I talk about in hyperconnected selling is the concept I call the sales Sherpa, where one of the ways when we think about how we have to change as sellers is that sellers are no longer in charge of the sales process, right? I don't know if we ever really were, but in the transactional days, it was kind of nice because we could think, hey, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to get something done right then. Versus now, I really think we have to position ourselves as sellers as a resource, as a trusted advisor for the people that are going to buy from us. And also realize that they're going to buy from us when they're ready, right? And that might be right now, but it's probably not going to be. But if we can use all the channels available to us to really position ourselves as the person who can help the buyer cut through the information, cut through the chaos and the noise. Just because they have information doesn't mean they know how to use it.
Data is just data. It's just ones and zeros. That's all it is.
Yeah. I talk about insights a lot with sellers. I'm like, an insight is helping the buyer to use that information. The example I often use is, theoretically, we can all buy a house without a real estate agent right now. And we all often thought that real estate agents would go away. This is the early days of the internet because, oh gosh, everything's online right now. There's more real estate agents now than there ever have been, even though you have a lot of online tools because buyers, the markets in the United States last couple of years have been crazy notwithstanding, but just because you have a listing for a house, you don't know what the school district's like. You don't know that if a house listing says it's quaint and near, transportation, it's tiny and next to the highway.
Understands the background speak.
Yeah. And you can go, hey, tell me what you're looking for. Show me the listings. Okay. You don't want that. You don't want that. I say that a sales Sherpa, the goal is to help your buyer make a decision more easily, more quickly, and with less risk.
It's interesting what you just said, because I know somebody who is a real estate sales agent. And years ago, they created a 70-page PDF that's on their website for free that you can do of how to buy and sell a house, step by step by step. He says, usually people say, I've gotten to page 35. Can you help me?
Right.
Just because you give people a hammer doesn't mean they can build a house.
That's exactly right.
And I think that that's what we need to realize as salespeople, is that our job is to help facilitate, is to be that easy button, to be able to explain, take the difficult and the complex and make it simple and build that know, like, and trust to enable people to sit there and say, okay, well, if they've done this, what else can they do for us?
That's exactly right. You know, and to something you kind of referenced early in the conversation, the skills that enable that are different than the skills that help somebody be a hard charging one call closer in 1992. And so I think if you look at where sales is going, again, I don't think this is about it being easier or harder than it used to be, but it's different, right? It's knowing, okay, I have to build that know, like, and trust. And it's not going to be just in one conversation. It's going to be over time. You know, I think a lot of salespeople, a lot of successful salespeople always used to do this, but it's becoming more and more important where they actually have a bit of marketer in them, right? You know, so even writing career started more talking about networking, not sales, right? Even though I had a sales background, I was really looking at networking because for me, networking is kind of this convergence of selling and marketing, right? It's kind of personal marketing. And even when I do a lot with LinkedIn, for example, and digital, for me, that's just an extension. It's just another channel to do this networking and this relationship building. But you actually have to have kind of a marketer's thought process as a salesperson where it's like, hey, I'm going to build this relationship with you. I'm going to plant some seeds. I'm going to cultivate those over time. Be very generous. The example you just used, I will tell you everything you need to know about this. And at a certain point, you're probably going to be over. And then, by the way, if you can buy it without me, great. But you're probably going to get overwhelmed, have a question. I'm here for you. It's like a personal trainer. We don't need to be told how to do a push-up, but a lot of times we need help making sure we're going to do it, making sure we're doing it right, whatever it is. And so there's a whole industry, and then we keep doing it. And so there's a whole industry, you know, which if you think about it, in many ways, is just, they're just people that are there to help facilitate our own, you know, physical exercise in this case. So I do think we are seeing a shift where you could get away with not being a good marketer in the past as a salesperson because you're like, hey, I'm just going to hustle and hustle. You don't have to have both. It just makes it a lot harder. And I think it's going to continue to get harder moving forward.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. So I want to combine that thought with something that you said about networking, because I want to talk about 2019 versus 2022. In 2019, I was flying around the world, giving keynotes, I was going to conferences, I was delivering workshops and all those kind of wonderful stuff. You'd come off a stage and there'd be 20 people there that want to talk to you. And, you know, maybe two or three of those turned into deals. You went to a conference, same thing. You got to meet people, shake hands, have lunch, have coffee, build those relationships, do that networking face-to-face, see people belly-to-belly, eye-to-eye, and be able to have those quiet conversations in the corner. COVID changed all that. And the people that you walked into their offices and were able to sit down with them and have a conversation, well, they may not have been in the office for the last 2 years and they're not coming back. Or if they're coming back, they're coming back 2 days a week. You don't know which days of the week they're in. And if they're, when they're in the office, they're absolutely chock-a-block full. They don't have time for you to just drop in. So you're looking at a situation where you're going, all right, I don't have the ability to be face-to-face with people anymore. And if I don't have somebody's cell phone so I can call them at home, or if they haven't taken their office number and call forwarded to a home number, it's a lot more difficult for me to use the channels and the skill set that I've built up over God knows how many years to be able to do my craft. So how do you take those people that have been sitting there going, God, this digital world is really scary. It's different. People think differently. Things happen in a different timeline. I can't get a hold of people. People are ghosting me. All the things that you're hearing, and be able to help them be resilient, be creative, be adaptable, and be able to bridge that shift to be able to understand how they can use the digital world to their advantage.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing to realize, especially if somebody's struggling with that transition, is that the channels might be changing, but the foundational interaction or engagement stays the same. And what I mean by that is it's still human to human. It's still, we're having a conversation, you know, whether that's over a Zoom video call or, as you said, at the table at the cocktail reception at a conference, right? And so the first thing is to remember, like, if you know how to have a conversation, you can port that into different channels. I think a big part of this is it's actually exposing some of the weaknesses a lot of us had. We thought, for example, we were good networkers because we could go to the conference and we could go shake a bunch of hands, see those three people we knew, maybe get a couple of business cards, but no real business was coming from that. It felt good.
That's right. You got a couple of free drinks out of it, you know, got a couple of days out of the office, whatever. But
yeah, we felt busy, but was it really productive? I think that I'll use myself as an example. I built my business strictly through networking, did a lot of networking over the last 15 years. The pandemic actually didn't really throw a wrench in my networking at all. And the reason why is because I was already doing a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of phone calls. I was already national, if not international, my networking. So I couldn't just go down to an event. And so for me, it was easier because I was like, oh crap, now I can't go to the event. It was, oh, I'm just going to reach out to Ben and be like, hey, let's grab a Zoom call, right? And so I think that the first thing for anybody who's struggling, and this is probably the hardest, is to just accept that it's not going to go back to the way it was. Even two and a half years later, I don't even know how far we've gone into this. There's still so many people that are just like, hey, it's just eventually going to get back. I think there's even a lot of people who are like, we want the return to office because we know what that's like. I don't know the future at all. I don't prognosticate just because, especially on a recording, because then I'll just have evidence of how wrong I am.
And this could live 10 years from now. So who knows?
Right. Exactly. But it's never going to go back to quote unquote the way it was. Right. And it's not because of the pandemic. I think the pandemic accelerated something that was already happening, whether it's remote work, whether it's digital communication. You know, when I talk to sales teams, for example, about LinkedIn, something I point out, I'm like, LinkedIn, Zoom, like these aren't new tools. Nobody had to invent something in March 2020. They're like, well, we've already have it. We just haven't used it or haven't needed to use it. And so I think accepting, okay, I've got to put all these tools into place because it's not going to go back to where I can just drop by the office. As you said, even if somebody's going back to the office as far as their prospects or their customers, they're not going back probably every day, or some of them are, or they're going back on Mondays and Wednesdays, and that's not the time they want to use to meet you. So I think when you make that mental leap, a lot of things fall into place because you're not fighting it. And then you can start to think to yourself, okay, well, what do I need to replace? Well, I need to replace going to a conference and meeting new people. Okay, well, what are other ways that I can meet new people? Is it getting involved in virtual events, or is it going to the in-person events, which I think are still going to happen? It's just going to be much, in some ways, better because you're going to be like, this is the one event I'm going to this year, right?
So and they're going to be smaller events and more concentrated and very much more focused.
Yeah. And so I am going and I'm going to make sure that I do the outreach beforehand and I don't just sit there and talk to the same two people I always talk to every year. I'm going to get out there. So as I said, it makes us kind of get past some of those bad habits we might have developed. Or a way that I've built my network for years now, I go to very few events to meet new people. I just talk to people that I know and say, who else should I meet, right? You know people I don't. I want to have some new conversations.
The power of referrals, yeah.
Yeah, or something that, and again, I'm super biased here, using LinkedIn. We didn't say this, but how do we know each other?
We met through LinkedIn.
Through LinkedIn. And I actually don't remember if you liked one of my pieces of content or I liked one of yours. And we started a conversation. We realized that we had some similar outlooks. You were like, hey, can we grab a conversation over Zoom? Awesome. We have a lot of connections in common, both as far as outlook, but also, you know, some literal like people that we know, like Catherine Morgan, I know I love Catherine. She's here in Chicago by me. We're doing business together right now. We're creating collaborative content. We've never been in the same room.
And I got to come to Chicago for some pizza, but that's another story altogether.
Please do. That's a business meeting I want to have.
Absolutely. We'll go down, you know, make sure that we go somewhere on the mile and, have some pizza. So,
oh, come on. You got an inside scoop. I'm not taking you to the tourist. We'll show you the real stuff.
You'll show me where the real good places for pizza.
We'll go where the locals go.
Here's a question. Before we get too further, I just had a thought. is, yes, there's Zoom calls. Yes, there's phone calls, connecting with LinkedIn connections, being able to respond back and forth. The challenge that I'm hearing over and over and over again from people is the asynchronous challenges of social media. And the fact that, here's a perfect example. I have somebody that I know who's in Australia and he's busy. He's been on my show. He's extremely busy. He's got three or four things going on. We talked about something 7 weeks ago. He's finally getting back to me. So after 7 weeks, you're sitting there going, okay, first of all, what did we talk about? And second of all, you feel like, did this person ghost me? Like, are they even interested? Is there any connection back and forth? And the more channels that we're on, the easier that is for people to do that, because they go, oh, well, do I respond to them on LinkedIn, or do they like Twitter, or do they like to be texted, or do they like email? To be able to understand what is the preferred version of communication of that particular person, to be able to make sure that you keep top of mind. But it's that asynchronous thing that says, okay, I send a message and it could be days or it could be weeks, depending on the person, before you hear any response back whatsoever. And that is where the real challenge is in terms of building the relationships and the networking.
And that goes back to the idea where it's a mindset issue as much as it is a skill set or a tool set issue. You know, a lot of times people go, what is the magic sauce that will make sure I'm never ghosted or that somebody's going to respond to me right away? We think there's this hack or something that, oh, there's just this right voicemail I'm going to send, whatever it is.
You put mail, $100 bills into an envelope in the mail with your business card attached to it. That's probably a good chance.
Yeah, maybe, right? Because there's people that, in especially in the sales game right now, that it's like, hey, we'll give you a drone if you accept a demo with us. That doesn't really mean anything. It's, I think, to your point, to question, the first thing is to change your mindset and go, hey, you know what? Things are not going to happen on my time frame, they're going to happen on their time frame. And that's what I'm saying, especially if you are in a true sales role, or if you're a business owner, or a solopreneur, for example, and you're trying to get business, people aren't going to jump right away just because you're reaching out. They're on their time frame. And you have to kind of accept that a little bit. Is there language that you can use to try to like move things along? Absolutely. I think you made a great point of just being cognizant of what channel people want to respond to, what they prefer, you know, and sometimes that's as easy as just asking early in a relationship, hey, by the way, what's the best way of getting in touch with you? I've usually found that however you start engaging with them is usually a good one to keep following. But yeah, you know, if you leave me a voicemail or call me, for example, I don't pick up my phone unless there's a name on it, right? Because I know you.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. But by the way, if you send me a LinkedIn message, I'm not on there all the time, but I'm on there every day and I will get it. So I think you have to, again, have the right expectations and also just realize that. And I don't think this is driven by the fractured communication landscape that we're in, but it's been highlighted by it, which is we're all busy. And maybe in some ways, not only on the professional level, but especially after the last couple of years, the personal level, you know, you never know. And I learned this very early in my sales career. You never know what's going on the person on the other side of the phone, right? It was even a sales manager, you know, taught me this early on, you know, somebody's mean to you on the phone. This is when we were dialing for dollars. Hey, you never know why they were mean to you. You never know what their day was. And if they're really mean to you, just be grateful you're not married to them. And that's all you had to, that was your only interaction with them. And it's kind of the same thing here. Yes, we don't want to be ghosted. Yes, we want somebody to get back to us right away. But hey, you never know what's on going on in their life. You know, you never know. I've had people, you know, we recently had our second child. Like, that's a priority. You know, your email isn't. And it's not that I don't want to, you know, engage with you in whatever way or shape or form somebody reaches out. But I'm just like, hey, my response horizon has gone down a bit. We just, you never know. I had somebody earlier this year, actually, who's like, hey, so sorry that I didn't get back to you. You know, my parent passed away because of COVID. I'm like, okay, cool. Way more important than any, you know, business I was trying to get done. That can be really hard when we want to just get things to it. But it's, I think we have to be a little more aware of the world we're in right now.
I agree. I mean, on my CRM right now, I've built a user field that says preferred method of communication. So I'm sitting there going, all right, I've got hundreds, if not thousands of people in my CRM. I can't remember who likes text and who likes tweets, who likes LinkedIn, who likes whatever. Yeah, the majority of people that I deal with like LinkedIn. Okay, great. Probably a default, but I always check if it's somebody I haven't dealt with on a regular basis to sit there and go, oh no, they like text. Okay, fine. Paul, sure enough, 5 minutes later, boom. If I had sent that person a LinkedIn or an email, could have been days before I saw or heard anything back from them.
And even if you're not as, if the listener is not as organized as you, I would say when in doubt, if reach out through somebody through one channel, if you don't hear back the next day, try a different one. And I think the key is not, hey, why don't you, you know, get back to me on my LinkedIn message. It's something I learned early on. It's worked well for me. There's people who have different opinions on this. Every email to somebody is always framed as if it's the first one out, right? Even if I've been sending you messages for 3 months, it's never, hey, why did you not get this? Or, you know, I got to move this to the top of your inbox. It's always just like, this is the first time, because you never know. And telling somebody, hey, I'm trying to make you feel bad because you didn't respond to me.
That's a good way to get ghosted.
Exactly. So yeah, I love the idea of tracking that. At worst, try some other channels. We are in a fragmented world for sure.
So two questions and I'm going to let you go, because I mean, this has been phenomenal, but we're getting close on time. I want to be careful of your time.
I talk too much.
Oh no, so do I. So, you know, two sales guys in a room, we could talk forever. The first question I want to ask you is, if you could give somebody one piece of advice that isn't in sales, that is working within a company, one piece of advice to make them be understood, listened to, and valued more effectively, what would it be?
So that piece of sales advice, kindness. You know what? There's this idea that people don't worry about. It's not about being nice or, you know, there's even in the old school, we said about no like and trust. People be like, well, it doesn't matter if they like you. They just got to know you. Being a good person, a nice person, an easy to get along with person costs you nothing. And it drives so much success, right? Just having some patience and some kindness. And especially after the last couple of years, just some compassion for people, even when they're driving us nuts, when they, why haven't you gotten back to my message right away? I do think it creates better business outcomes. And it's just a better way of going through the world.
I agree. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, we talk about find me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn.com/in/IMDFish, IAMDFISH. You can find us on our online home, davidjpfisher.com. And we do have a landing page as well for all of your listeners, which we'll make sure to get to you guys for the show notes. So you can get a bunch of free resources on networking, sales, and hopefully how to get more people to respond to you right away.
That's a beautiful thing. And I'll make sure that all that stuff is sitting right within the show notes so people can get it at yourlivingbrand.live. But here's the last question, and it's a question I ask everybody as they walk out the door. When you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
That was a worthwhile use of my time. I am in a better place because I spent a few minutes with Dee than if I had not. And that might mean you have an insight that you didn't have before, or I just made you feel better about yourself or about life than you did before. Just that's all I want people to think, right? That my life is a little better for having spent that time with Dee than it not. Everything else will take care of itself.
Well, I can honestly say that my life is better off for that 35 minutes or so that we've gotten together. So Dee, Fish, whatever you want to be called this week, you know, I promise I won't call you late for drinks. We got to have that pizza in Chicago. Thank you for being a wonderful guest and thank you for all your wisdom.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to that slice with you.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?